Seems like God so often gives me what I need only when I need it, when I'm ready for it, perhaps. About 2 weeks ago, Parker Palmer sent me his latest book on really facing the experience of death. His, like all of our Jonah experiences. But toward the beginning of the book, he offered what for me was an absolutely clear and better than usual definition of contemplation. And I realized, my gosh, this is where we got to go. And he said, contemplation does not need to be defined in terms of particular practices. Meditation, yoga, tai chi, lectio divina. When we emphasize those too much, I agree with him, it becomes a matter of technique. We're back into performance. Am I doing the practice correctly? I knew, as I'm sure all of you know, the revelation of God who always wants to enter material world, as our image keeps saying, cannot possibly depend upon people sitting on a mat twice a day and being silent. That means 99.999% of people who've ever lived on this earth cannot know God. I think, and this is again the unfolding and the evolution of consciousness, I think we understood as we could understand. But we're in a unique position to, at this point now in history, to broaden that definition. The definition up to now has been ascetic, coming from the early monastic and desert tradition. And thank God, we've been highly influenced by the Buddhists in the last 100 years. But I think the field is bigger than that. And let me read Parker Palmer's next sentence. He said, contemplation cannot be defined by practice, but by function. Stay with me. Contemplation is any way one has that penetrates illusion and helps you to touch reality. I'm going to read it again. I'm changing the word slightly. It's just if you go back and read it, you'll say, well, that is not what Richard said. It's the same, really. Contemplation can be described better by function than by practice. I think he's right on. And all of us, I used to call it in my book, The Naked Now, Great Love and Great Suffering. And I said those were the normal paths of transformation, great love and great suffering. And what the two Barbaras have done for us and what I'm sure Brian is going to do tomorrow and Mirabai always does is helping us to enter in to the great love and the great suffering. Any practice of contemplation, and there's a place for it, I'm not throwing it out, is simply to help you sustain over the long haul what you temporarily learned on your honeymoon and the day after your mother died in great love and great suffering. When you're in the middle of great grief, you're a non-dual thinker for a few days, months, weeks. When you're in the middle of great love, you're a non-dual thinker for several days or weeks or hours. But you and I know it doesn't last. It doesn't last. When you insert religion inside of culture, I'm going to say it, as many others have said it better than me, culture wins every time. We keep pretending we believe these belief systems. We don't. We're Americans first and maybe once in a while Christians or whatever your country is, huh? And that's just become obvious. It's culture that forms us. And so even a wonderful weekend like this, which I hope is wonderful, you might even agree with things that we're saying. And you might even commit yourself to a new practice. But until it moves to the elemental level, the cellular level, to you digest it like you do great love and great suffering, it's not functioning to turn your mind contemplative. You'll go right back to dualistic thinking. You'll go right back to angry Republican, Democrat, Protestant, Catholic, black, white. It never stops. But if you can keep finding a way to touch upon reality, contemplation is any way one has of penetrating illusion. So what's your way going to be when you go back home to penetrate the illusions of the social media, the news, the newspaper, which is all defined? Maybe we should thank somebody for coining the word fake news, because it all is. I mean, and I don't mean that they're lying to us. That's not my point. I mean that it's all just a small picture, a small picture, a small picture. So it's all fake news. That's the only kind of news there is, telling you that this matters in the great scheme of things. And of course, what the ego does is take sides. We love to take sides. That gives us a false sense of solidity, importance, and intelligence. So any way you can find to help you to penetrate illusion and touch reality. And reality will always be bigger than you. It will always leave you a bit uncomfortable, a bit off center stage. If you're still center stage, it ain't reality. When you can take your place as the little sideshow that we all are, and from that humble perspective, allow reality to do its work with you, I think you will know what you need to know. I want to thank the fellow teachers. I know much that they're saying is not... I've never heard a conference on darkness. I've never attended a Christian conference on how to walk into it. We've had no training in doing this. And so that's why it's still foreign territory. It still feels like unsafe or even unchristian. But Jesus meant what he said in the gospel Barbara just read. There's only one sign I'm going to give you. One sign. The sign of Jonah going inside the belly of the whale and being spit up on a new shore. That's the sign we hope we've shared with you these days. It isn't something you do. It is, as Barbara said so well today, using the great historical examples of slavery and Holocaust and Trail of Tears. It is always done unto you. And I guess all we can do on a day like today is pray that we'll be a little bit ready. Now, if you haven't practiced any letting go, if your religion is always about holding on to being right and being certain and being in the light, I don't think you'll be ready. There's no way you're going to be ready, because all new material is going to be judged as dangerous, heretical, this new stuff. The cross was new stuff to Jesus, too. So let's prepare ourselves to be surprised by newness, difference, otherness, not meanness, and to not block it or resist it, but even now, today, to do practice to say yes to it. You can't do all your homework the last 5 minutes. You got to do your homework ahead of time. And if there is any justification for church services, that's the only one I can think of, it's doing our homework ahead of time. So when we are thrown overboard, and it will happen in some way or form, we will say, as the poet did, "What did I ever lose by dying? I've been here before, and it didn't kill me." If you haven't practiced that, you don't know that. You really don't. And you're going to be fighting death till the last breath of your life. Don't make such a mistake.